It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show. I'm Charlie Hawkins, and I've been joined by the E10 Mess podcast, Adam Sampson, Julian Ferns, and Brendan Pitcher. Brendan, great to have you back. We missed you last week. The dark horse in the studio is finally made a return. Maybe you were the reason, Brendan, that Leighton Orient got that victory against Cheltenham Town, because you weren't here last week, and it's all gone wrong. There was good vibes in the studio. We were back in the Football League, back in League Two. Where's it going to take us? And I suppose we have to start it there. What went wrong on Saturday? 3-0 to Macclesfield. Big Sol Campbell, he's got the result. He's got the 3 points. It's just, what happened?
I think the first thing that went wrong was Sol Campbell's wardrobe in that that decision. He
was wearing that white, man, no style.
White chinos, I think.
Blue
leather jacket.
Rocking.
Yeah, I think from the time I got on that train where it got delayed, to the weather, to the open terrace with no roof, to our defensive performance, it was definitely one to forget, I think.
Julian, you went, didn't you?
Yeah, well, we both went. And, you know, it's hard to sort of sit here and pick out. We said it about the first game, you know, watched a sort of 90 minutes and couldn't remember much going on the game because of the sort of the whole thing about getting back in the league, etc., etc. I think on Saturday, the team was not the team we ended last season with. I think we talked about it earlier, and the way the players just reacted, you know, they were very immature in their approach, and I just felt they lost their way a hell of a lot. And for my position is that there needs to be some changes, and whatever those changes will look like going forward, we're not in a position to guide that. But I think definitely there's so many conversations need to be had regards to sort of formation and sort of the gutsy approach that we used to have last season.
Brendan?
Yeah, I didn't go on Saturday, but I've watched the highlights back, and they're just they're sloppy goals, to be honest. They're not the type of goals we were conceding
not
last season.
Not that first one. That first one was a sloppy goal.
What?
A sloppy goal?
I still think...
You could have scored that. You know, with a bit of wind behind
you. Mate, you ain't seen me play football. I've definitely two left feet. I wouldn't have scored that. But as much as this is the Orient fan show, we want to big up the team. We can't call that first goal sloppy.
I think Brophy could have got out to him quicker. I think if Widdowson was there at left wing back, he would have got out to him quicker.
But he did come across the back four, you know. There was two or three chances we could have got the ball, played it away, but we left it sort of bounce one, two, three, back out to the left.
It just, for me, I know we're going to talk about formations. Adam, you mentioned it a lot. We've been texting a bit on WhatsApp. We're not quite sure what formation Orient are planning at the minute. But for me, on Saturday, it just felt like, and I know you can put me wrong, the defence got found wanted a little bit. Are they playing a real high line? Because the 2 second goals, they just got really found out, a through ball. And it was just, where was Orient? Where was the pace at the back? It just really found like Macclesfield found a flaw, and then they were just going to execute it all the time. It's like, look, when we know the blueprint to beat a team, we're just going to cut you open and we're going to do it again.
I think it's a learning curve for the manager. Obviously, he's very inexperienced, and it's a learning curve for the players, and probably a sharp one. I think we talked about a few weeks ago about the step up to League Two, and, you know, is there a step up or not? I think they've found out there probably is. And like you say, I think we got found out early. We've been playing five across the back, or three across the back with wing backs last season, and we've carried on this season. And I think it was pretty naive on Saturday, because our wing-backs were all the way forward. If you look at, I think, the first goal, Macclesfield goal, our left-back is in the penalty box. I think he's the second furthest player forward. We get broken on time and again. Macclesfield could have scored two or three more with just a simple ball over the top. And that sort of defending at any level, you're going to struggle if you can't defend a long ball over the top, even in the second half when the wind was against us. And I think away from home, we can play three in the middle, but those three have to be sitting back. We were effectively playing three forwards away from home, and although Macclesfield weren't fancied before the game, like you said, we got found out pretty easily.
But remember, you know, we changed that system to the latter part of the season last year. It wasn't like we started the season with that system. Justin moved us to that, and we were in a bit of a, not a run of poor form. We were just we weren't grabbing hold of games, and that made us to do that. But I think what I'm seeing now, we've got some great strikers who are just not getting the ball. And we mentioned it from last night and the game against Plymouth. Angel is a fantastic football player, just not getting the service. And you know, any club you support, any team you watch, if you can't get your top strikers a service, how are you going to expect them to score your goals? They can't come deep and get the ball and fetch it into midfield and go forward again, because they're going to get sort of found out very quickly. Going back to your comment about sort of the defensive speed of the defence, they've never been quick. Yeah, let's get clarity here. But in the National League, you got half a chance of getting yourself out of trouble. Marv probably last season got us out of trouble more times than you can probably think about. And so my concern is going forward is that you're going to get teams really understand how just to cut. They know we're slow, so they're going to play that ball through those centre-halves and turn us, and they're gone.
Well, Adam, you touched upon it there. You said that we've talked about the golfing class. When you step up that level, you are back in the Football League. There is an element to that, but how much of an element is there? Is it that there's been a step up in the golfing class, we've now climbed a tier, or is it the hangover that I mentioned last week, that Orient could face such a high from being promoted that first game? Obviously, Justin Renenbright, it was at home, you beat Cheltenham, and now we're sort of seeing a hangover from that, is kind of where I predicted that Macclesfield would get a result. Then a quick turnaround, you played Plymouth and it's still there, you have to get yourselves back up. Are we seeing a little bit of a combination of both factors there?
Yeah, a little bit. I think the main problem is just sloppiness, and like the third goal was the best example. I think the corner, that goal, I don't think would have been conceded under Edinburgh. I think we would have been more happy, would have been switched on more, maybe more prepared, know who he's marking, and it wouldn't have happened like that, I think.
I think it's a bit of a gamble from our directors and Martin Ling, director of football, because some teams, I think Tranmere last season came up and basically overhauled most of their squad. They said, thanks very much for getting us up with the National League. We need better pass players. This season, what we've done is bring in pretty much very, very few players. I don't think we've even replaced the amount that went. And it's a gamble. And I think it's too early to say if it's, you know, if we need wholesale changes. But I do think that whatever formation you play in, ultimately for me, it's down to not having that ball winning central midfielder who can carry that ball from our box to their box. And I've been going on about it for about 2 years. I'm going to carry on, hashtag new midfielder, whatever hashtag you want to use. I just think ultimately, unless we've got that player in there, it doesn't matter what formation we play, we're always going to struggle, because either the defence is having to come out to pick the ball up, or the strikers are having to come back to get the ball. And I just think, for me, that's the one key area where we haven't really recruited for in the last 2 years, really.
Well, how crazy is football? I know we weren't getting ahead of ourselves, but last week when we had spoke, we played 1-1-1, and we was like, we've seen it before, Lincoln, back-to-back promotions. Now we're like, yeah, there is a golfing class. And we have a little bit touched upon that we're, you know, because you said we wouldn't have conceded that goal had Justin Edinburgh still been in charge. Well, Ross is in charge, and now there's only slight whispers. It's not a big thing, but maybe he's out of his depth. We're not quite sure what formation we're playing under him. Is that really a thing now? With just in three games and only two league games, we're saying that Ross might not be the man in charge for us.
It's such a hard thing to criticise him for, though, because he's openly said in just a few months, or just a month ago when he got the job, he was like, I don't really want the job. I'm doing it kind of it's interim. How are players supposed to kind of react to that? How are they supposed to have confidence in the manager if they're not sure Ross is going to be there for? I know he'll have a job no matter what, but whether he'll be the man in charge. It's a difficult situation to even criticise Ross, because I'm not sure he wants to be there himself even.
I think it's interesting to see how he approaches this, because we've had a couple of bad results, bad performances. I think everyone is willing to give him a little bit of time at least, but you know, he hasn't got that much time. This is football at the end of the day. And although he's in a weird position, ultimately you've got to put sentiment aside and say, if we are really struggling in the bottom two, four maybe, after a month, then actually you do need to make a decision. And I think he needs to own that position, whether he wants it or not, and whether it's an awkward position. He's the manager at this point in time. He needs to put his stamp on things. He needs to tell the players that, and the players will hopefully respect that.
Yes, there's a couple of things that sort of over the last couple of games. I think his interviews have still been very good, you know, so he's come across.
I think he's a good speaker.
Yeah, very good. Good to meet. He knows his stuff, and no one's going to doubt that. one thing, sort of, my manager in my business, you know, and he said, I'm never going to be called the gaffer. That was what we called Justin. I get that. But reality is, that's a statement. I'm the boss, and you guys listen to what I've got to do, say, and do what I say, you know. And I don't know whether that is in some way sort of clouding, with that missing that little element there where going, Ross is the boss, not just the head coach. He is the boss, and we have to do and play by his tactics, his rules. On Saturday, one thing I find, when you look on the dugout, any game you watch, whether it's live or on the telly, and when the manager sits there, crosses his arms, you know, puts his umbrella up and looks really disappointed, that does rub off on the fans, rubs off on the players. And there was the end of that game, Ross sort of was leaning against the fence, just cross arms, just like he was watching his kids play football. And that, to me, thought, that's a man that's sort of not quite sure what to do next. All his rest of his staff are in the dugout, in the dry, yeah, and he's on there on his own. And that's when I think sometimes it's very difficult to be a leader.
Yeah, picking up from that, after the Plymouth game last night, everyone was clapping him off, and he looked genuinely emotional that people had stayed to clap him off. Like, there was almost maybe even a tear in his eye almost, and he looked, maybe he's struggling with the emotional side of it all, because it's a lot to take on. He's talking like, I wouldn't be called gaffer or anything. He's still grieving. The Custod's still grieving. It's a lot to take on, really. So.
Well, yeah, because if you'd have said 6 months ago, he wouldn't have known that he was going to be in this position. It's not a position he applied for. He didn't know it was around the corner. He didn't know it was coming. So he's still probably one that he has to get over just as much as the players and the fans have to get over this hurdle. But Adam, you mentioned, we spoke about the golfing class, but it's not just the golfing class in players. The managers are going to be better. You even said you can't wait for the officiating to be better. Everything is a step up in League Two, but how can we deal with this step up? Because last week, we were obviously joking, back-to-back promotions, but Macclesfield were a team that struggled last year. They just about saved relegation, and now they're a team, I don't want to say beat Orient with relative ease, but it was 3-0. So now has that sort of moved the goalpost a bit in the expectations of what we can do this year?
Yeah, I think obviously we were up after the win, but I mean, ultimately for me, anything aside from relegation is a good season. I can't imagine what would happen if we got relegated again. It'd be disastrous for everyone. So that's
bad refereeing. If
we bad refereeing, again. We'll blame that.
We can't. You said it's better officiating at this level.
That was after one game. I think I changed my mind. But I think the players need to learn quickly. I don't think we've got a lot of opportunity to learn slowly. These players, a lot of them are quite young. And obviously with Ross, it's a two-way thing. Ross is the leader and the manager, and he has to lead from the front. But also the players have to help him out. And Saturday we talked about it. There wasn't that. There didn't seem like there was aggression or fight that we've seen. It was, you know, what encapsulated our team last year, that fight and determination. And I think, you know, you can never. A player's quality is a player's quality. But if you give 100% on Saturday, you give yourself that extra chance. And for me, I didn't see that on Saturday. I don't know about Tuesday, but I wasn't there. The previous Saturday, we saw it in buckets. And whether it's the occasion or not, I'm not sure. But everyone was flying into tackles. They were showing that aggression. And yeah, I think squad additions are definitely going to help and what we need in certain positions. But ultimately, the fans need to see the players want it as much as we're used to.
Well, we knew it was going to be there on game day one because we knew the occasion. We knew what emotional charged state it was going to be. But is that a worry, Adam, that in game two of a brand new season, we're still in August, the players weren't up for it on a Saturday? I can understand it's a cold night and we're playing on a way to whoever, Forest Green on a Tuesday. And, you know, if it's the second game in, is that a concern, Julian?
To me, I think you mentioned it earlier, you know, we don't know in this room how those players are reacting from a grief perspective. We can talk about Justin until the rest of the end of the season, and we probably will at stages, but we just don't know. And that, for me, the last couple of games, just seems that there's some of the players within their squad are still not quite strong and still not feeling sort of that they've moved themselves on from what's happened in the summer. And that's going to be difficult, and that's why it's very hard for us as fans, you know, because we could easily come in here and be like our friends from Newcastle and absolutely slate the club, you know, Ross out, get this, do that. But reality is, we're in a really odd scenario, but there's time, you know. We can't just say, it's the situation. We have to do something. And
it's an unforeseen situation, isn't it?
And the thing is, we have to do something and do something in the time that we can get ourselves out of trouble if we get ourselves in trouble.
Well, someone who might know of the situation is John Sitton, ex-Orient player and co-manager, and he might just know how players would react to things like this.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I've been joined by the E10 Mess podcast, Brendan Pitcher, Julian Ferns and Adam Sampson here in the studio. Well, since I last did see you, you've not played one game, you've played two. You're back not only in the Football League, but you're back in the League Cup. It's not lasted for long. I don't know if you were pleased to be there. But before we talk a little bit about the game, I want to talk about cup runs. Now, I know you're back in the Football League. Adam, you said it's all about staying up this year. We don't want to be relegated. How do you feel about cup runs? Because I know teams know, let's really go for it, but it can be sort of detrimental to the league position. Now, I looked at the lineups, I've watched the highlights. Still a fairly strong team. There were a few changes, but it was still a team that, you know, it wasn't a fully weakened side. You did go to, say, get something out of the game. You didn't. Are you disappointed you're out, or you're like, no, because you know what? Now we can just concentrate on the league.
I think it's all about the leasing.com.uk.org trophy, isn't it? No, but yeah, I think, to be honest, last night was probably about getting a few players minutes that hadn't played before, about trying out a different system, about potentially building some confidence. Obviously, the draw against Plymouth away from home is probably not the best one, especially when the competition's regionalised and you've got a load of London clubs in there.
Especially when they've got all of their new players from Bury who are not playing football in a minute.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the EFL Cup probably, I mean, they probably wouldn't say it, but I'm guessing Ross isn't too disappointed that we're not in it anymore. I think obviously the FA Cup's the one you probably want a good run in, and that would be nice. But ultimately, as long as we're in the Football League next year, I don't really care where we get.
Yeah, I can't remember. Was it Lincoln who had that really good cup run?
The FA Cup,
they got promoted.
Yeah. They played Everton, didn't they?
Yeah. So you've got a lower league club there who's been promoted from the National League and consolidated and went again. And I think a cup run's always quite interesting. We had it last year with a trophy. Doesn't matter who you're playing, what it is, and we've seen that the team sort of want to go and win and make it right if we had a bad Saturday in the league, and then go in the cup run the following Saturday and go and get a win against a lesser side. But I've seen it there, and then we've seen it on Tuesday. We didn't, as you said, we didn't sort of weaken the side, so that's good, because I want us to give everything a go, because ultimately you win, you know, it's a habit forming, isn't it? Yeah, and I think Ross was desperate to get that, like any club would. But in reality is, we're out, we move on. But so important Saturday for us, but going back to what Adam said, you know, the FA Cup, the glory and what comes with it is so exciting. So that's probably quite a big thing for us.
Yeah, and there was an interesting thing from the Newport manager. He basically just told his fans not to come, not to go to Gillingham away, because he's going to play the reserve side. They've got they don't want to have a run in the League Cup. The FA Cup's got more prize money. They've got Plymouth away on Saturday. Why would they bother putting out a side? And I think maybe if we took that approach, in hindsight, it might have been better. We'd have players rested for Stevenage on Saturday, which is a big game. Plymouth, we weren't likely going to win anyway. So,
In hindsight, it's easy to say.
I know.
I don't think you're like that, Brendan. Yeah. I don't think you're just saying it now in hindsight that you haven't, because you didn't go and win that game. Yeah. Of course, you know, the players, you want them to be fresh. But Stevenage played in the cup themselves last night. You are playing Stevenage, of course. We're going to talk a little bit opposing view later. But is it too early to say keep the players fresh? We're only in August again. We're not in the harder parts of the season. We're not at panic stations mode. We have only played two games in the league. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think August, you want players to get minutes. I'm not convinced that all of them are completely up to speed from pre-season yet. A few of them had interrupted pre-seasons. So I think the team selection was pretty spot on last night. We had a good mixture where we could have potentially won it, but also you get to see other players like Miles Judd. Louis Dennis got some minutes to get him fit, who I think is going to be a key player this year. So for me, it was probably more important to get those minutes in rather than the actual result.
In terms of the actual game, I think I was the only one of us three that actually went. Plymouth are a good side. I think they'll get promoted easy. They've spent a lot of money. They've basically got Bury's team that came second in the league last year. They've got a player called Danny Mayer who was up against Miles Judd, and it was just an absolute mismatch every time he got the ball. He's just a far too good a player for League Two, and Judd looked a bit out of his depth. Don't want to be too harsh on the lad, but on that performance I wouldn't start him again in the league. He looked really shaky. In terms of bright sparks, I think Liangol was probably the best one for us. He was showing nice touches, bringing the ball out of the air, always looked threatening. It was a shame he always had to go so deep to get the ball.
Brendan, as the only one that went to the game then, what were your thoughts on the formation and that high line? Was it still the same from the weekend, or Orient maybe not realised their mistake but changed it back?
We tweaked it a little bit by not playing an actual 10 behind the strikers. We played three centre mids, so it gave us a bit of solidity. But the problem with that is, with the wing back formation, the wing backs are supposed to be your out ball, they're supposed to be your attacking outlet, but really we played two defensive full backs at wing back. So you had Joe Widdowson and Miles Judd, neither really liked to get forward, and it was a bit of a struggle. We looked a bit toothless going forward.
I think it was, we're talking about Miles Judd and he's didn't have a great performance. One thing, going back to what we were talking about, Ross, in his post-match interview, he called him and I think Marvin out by name, which I know, again, new manager and he's a lot to learn, but I feel like man management wise, it's not the greatest thing to do to boost 21-year-old's confidence.
They
to
were
say
very poor.
You were directly responsible, but you do it in private. You do it, yeah, you know, yeah, lash know him it in the dressing room and show him the video afterwards. But calling it out to the fans, I'm not sure really what he got out of doing that. I rate Miles Judd. I think most people know that over Lingy, and I think given a run in the team, he'll be all right. But yeah, obviously didn't have a good game last night. But hopefully he'll be in the team soon.
Well, I'm delighted to say we are now joined by John Sitton, ex-Orient player and co-manager. John, we know you're busy tonight, so we really appreciate you coming on, giving us a few minutes of your time. John, obviously, Orient are back in the Football League. They are there. It was a great start. 1-0 win to Cheltenham now. A couple of defeats. 3-0 to Macclesfield, crashing out of the League Cup last night to Plymouth. But what can we expect this year? Orient fans, should they not get worried by those last two games and just concentrate on staying up?
I've got to say that in my experience there, it was a case of wanting to show a bit of ambition, I suppose. It depends very much on the hierarchy, the management, and the players, how much ambition they've showed. And the crowd would tend to follow suit, I would think.
John, I think, obviously, you are managing Orient in a difficult time. Obviously, at the moment, we've got Ross Embleton, who's also an inexperienced manager, and it's also a difficult time, albeit slightly different circumstances. Coming into a management role like you did and trying to get the players on side, etc., what advice would you give him to sort of potentially try to turn the ship around?
I think this is... I'm going to be very honest, very candid with you. I think it's very much an overused expression of... I think it's a faraway line, and it doesn't matter how much of a, and I was one who did, it doesn't matter how much of a personal interest you take in players. I think some organisation coping what you do during the course of the week encourage people to bond and build a team spirit and basically the way you're going to play through those methods. You know, it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't matter how much of an interest you take in their lives and outside what's going on outside of football, inevitably it could blow up in your play because it's just the nature of the beast at the moment. Well, for a few years now, I would think. You know, if I'm honest, I just think he's just got to be himself. And you know, it's all very well giving people advice and whatever. I mean, I was pretty easy to read. I was really...
We've lost John. Have we lost you there? John Sitton, we've lost him now, unfortunately. It's such a shame because we were enjoying talking to him there. But I think what you said, Adam, was such a great question there because, you know, he managed
Cheers,
in
mate.
A very...
No, I had a really good one as well. Yeah.
Julian had a good one. I'm not sure I believe that. But he managed in a difficult time, and it is a difficult time. We were just speaking about it before we spoke to John because it was a time that's not been expected, and we don't know as we would react as humans, let alone as football managers and players and how they're going to get over that. So it is very tough. It would have been interesting what John had to say. But Brendan, going back to that Plymouth game, because you were there, no one else was... let's talk about that defence because I did watch the highlights and there seemed to be, and we know Twitter can be a very scary place, that I was reading all the tweets and a lot of people were not happy with Marvin. It was literally one tweet after the other and I'll hold my hands up. I watched the highlights and then I was like, oh, Marvin, he's not good. I was like, he's been really found wanting a few times. I was like, right, wrote my notes down. I thought, let me see what everyone else is saying. I looked, I was like, oh, I feel a bit sorry for Marvin now. I sort of crossed the max. I was like, I don't ever like to be harsh on a player. Look, I can't play football. But when you do jump up a league, I know Plymouth as well, they're another entity entirely. But players are going to get found out, aren't they, a little bit?
Yeah, in the summer, he was linked with moves away. Particularly, I think Rotherham made a bid. And you wonder, that didn't happen. He saw Caroma and Bond go. Maybe his head's been turned. Or also, he was a Conference South player, like, what, 18 months ago?
Yeah, before.
It's a big step up. So he was a part-time player. So making that step up into the Football League, maybe just needs time, a bit time to adjust, maybe.
We sort of mentioned earlier about sort of last season where Marvin got us out of trouble quite a few times. But reality is that, as we said, he was a Conference South player not many moons ago, and he's still got a lot to learn. And I think he played in a really good, solid back four, for three centre-halves and a keeper who were absolutely solid last season. And we are struggling, and I don't think he's experienced that really since he's joined us. He came into a side, was doing well, and we continue to do well. So he's having to learn that. My bit is I think very quickly opposing players know his weaknesses, and there's not many, but the ones that they can still highlight, and one of those is his first touch sometimes is not great, and also he does the opposite in where he wants to run out of the ball and very calm on the ball, but then he sort of seems to be able to throw a bit of a paddy and loses his way, and that's when we end up getting sort of punished by that. So I'm not, for me, if we if you asked an Orient player last season, if we revert back to a back four, would you have Happ and Coulson or Marvin and Coulson? Everyone goes Marvin and Coulson. Yeah, I think we've all said Happ and Coulson. Happy had a few mistakes in him at Macclesfield, but reality is he's a natural left-footed player. He's come on, but he's played at Orient in League Two previously, although limited, and he's come through that academy pro club for a long while, and I think he's matured very much more than where Marvin is. And I would hate to lose Marvin. I think Marvin's got an excellent career ahead of him, but I think the last couple of games he's been average at best.
I'm going to disagree with you there, I think, Julian. I think we've talked about lack of pace.
Brendan
in
and Adam, he's Julian.
I love it. Rubbing my hand. I think we talked a little bit earlier about lack of pace in the squad, and I think we have got a lack of pace. I think attacking-wise, Brophy's probably the only player, well, from midfield, that's got that pace. But if you look at the defenders, Marvin is the only pacey player I think we've got at the back, and I think it showed up last year when Coulson started with Elokobi, and we had no one really to cover Coulson's lack of pace. And I think last season we were about most solid, in my opinion, when Coulson and Ekpeteta were at the back together. Happy come in and had a few good games, but looking at the goals back on Saturday, I do feel that Happy was probably at fault for at least a couple of them. And for me, although Marv's only got 1 year on his contract, so any big bids, you've got to think about it seriously. I'd be very disappointed if he was to go this year.
Well, we're talking about the Plymouth game, the Macclesfield game, but of course now our attention's turned to Stevenage and it's 3 points we're after. We're going to be talking to Jay Drakeford, the Stevenage Stadium announcer, next.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with E10 Mess Podcast and me, Charlie Hawkins, Brendan Pitchard, Julian Ferns and Adam Sampson. And it is time for the opposition for you. I'm delighted to say we've got Jay Drakeford on the line, Stevenage Stadium announcer. Jay, it's not been a great start in League Two life for you at the minute. Orient have played one, lost one. You do play each other this weekend. What are your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, it's hardly been the best start to the season for us, is it really? It's been a tough one. Thanks for inviting us on, by the way, chaps. Absolutely pleasure.
No, you're more than welcome, Jay. Thanks for joining us.
So yeah, it's been a bit of a random one for us. The fans, as you can imagine, aren't quite happy with the way we've started our League Two campaign. And obviously last night as well, we went out of the cup as well after taking the lead. So we had more than one shot last night, and we scored a goal, which was great. So we're moving. I'm feeling positive.
I saw the goal you lost to, 89th minute one, Nicky Law, absolute screamer from outside the box, outside the foot, yep, on Saturday. Looking just at the stats and not seeing the game, it looked like you were a bit, little bit unlucky there, and also in I think in the cup game last night as well.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think our first game was a bit of a nightmare, to be fair. Drawing Salford, live on Sky Sports. You know, if that would have gone our way, which it didn't, and we didn't deserve anything out of that first game, then it could have changed Saturday. It was 50-50 through that game on Saturday at the Lanark Stadium. But yeah, you couldn't fault the goal. Now, the one thing that's worth looking at and worth noting at, the reason we were down to 10 men or when that goal went in on Saturday was that one of their players had actually punched one of ours. So our defender was then off the pitch. So we were down to 10 men for that goal when that goal went in, which was an absolute nightmare. And it's only, I think it was yesterday, he received his pre-match ban from the EFL, but that doesn't help us at all, if that makes sense.
And you had a good end to the season last season, and everyone was kind of tipping you maybe as dark horses. How much do you think the dip in form is down to losing Elias Chair? Because I saw him a lot popping up on goal highlights. He was scoring worldies every week. How much are you missing him at the minute?
There is absolutely no doubt that Elias Chair was not a League Two player last year. He's unbelievable. He's going to go on and do some amazing things. But are we missing him? God, any team that Elias Chair played for at League Two would be missing him. He's an outstanding football player. And yet, sorely missed, absolutely. Over the summer period, you know, there has been recruitment done at Stevenage, and, you know, it's going to take a while to gel. I'm kind of positive that things will turn around for Dino and the boys. But, as you can imagine, some of the fans at the minute really, really aren't happy.
So going on for sort of missing players from last season, a couple of years ago you missed that sort of absolutely amazing midfield of Joby, Lee and Dow. So what were your thoughts when they all left you and come to the Orient?
Well, Joby was a great player. I loved him. I've been at the Lamex now doing my little volunteer job for five seasons. So I got to see him and he was a fantastic player. But yeah, we have really lost out. I mean, there's been some great players that have moved on from us. You know, we've had the George Boyd era. There's been players that have gone on. You've got Ben Nugent, who played last night for Swansea. Sorry, not Ben Nugent. Ben Wilmot, who played last night for Swansea, first game for him on loan from Watford. So, you know, we do turn out some amazing football players. But, Stevenage is a very, very small club in League Two. And, you know, we end up sending quite a lot of players on, and that's the way it works.
Talking of players going back and forward, obviously a former Orient legend almost, Scotty Cuthbert. I think he's never ever lost a single header in his whole football career.
Oh my god,
has he been for you? I think he was your player of the season last year, obviously massively missed by me ever since he's left, but big impact.
Huge, absolutely huge. My son, who's 8 years old, thinks he's just the best player ever. There's nothing flair about him, but what he does is just unbelievable. And you're right, last year's player of the season, I think he cleared up everything last year. Absolutely superb, and really is the leader out there for us, the warrior on the pitch. And and again, last night he went limping off one of our four subs that came off, four players that came off with an injury last night, and he will be thoroughly, thoroughly missed if he's out for any spell along our back line.
Jay, we were just talking a little bit how Orient, they obviously got the first day victory to Cheltenham Town. Now they've had two defeats and it can quickly snowball. Stevenage played two, lost two. Is there a feeling and a vibe like that around the club at the minute? Do they feel like Saturday is a must-win game already so early in the season?
If I'm honest, I don't think the fans think that it's a must-win game. I think they're looking throughout the squad. And I mean, I turned around last night, looked behind the media box, and it looked like we had a Stevenage hospital behind them. I could literally list player after player that was sat up there. You've got Nugent. I mean, he was colossal with Cuthbert last season. Absolute warrior at the back there. You've got Ben Kennedy, Byron. You've got Danny Hudson, who's still not fully fit, didn't even come on last night. So I think we're more worried about, you know, some of the players that we've got that are watching the game from the bench. And, you know, last night we had a 17-year-old debutant who was unbelievable, Luis Fernandez. He's a young lad who's come all the way up through the ranks and featured a couple of times pre-season, played absolutely out of his skin last night and earned his place. And I think we're just slightly worried about, you know, about the lack of depth in our squad for the future, for the next few games. And that's where I think most of the Borough fans are slightly concerned at the minute.
And your manager, Dino Marmory, was a coach under Gwerin Wesley when, like, probably your most successful time as a club. How much does his playing style, like, replicate that? Because we had a few run-ins with Wesley while we're in League One, whether he's at Stevenage or Preston or even Newport, I think we played him at.
I think if you ask the fans, I think they're split down the middle. I think they'd say it's very Wesley-esque. I think if you ask Dino himself, I think he'd try and stay away from that answer. And I don't think he'd like the fact that he's playing Wesley kind of football. I stand quite close to him. I'm just behind him in the dugout, so I get to see quite a lot of what's going on. And what I see he's asking his players to do and what they've been doing has been different. And I don't think... I was within two Wesley eras at Stevenage, and I don't think it's the same kind of football. So, no, I think he's asking them to do something slightly different, which can be frustrating. And we've got a fantastic backroom staff now. We've had Mark Sampson come in from England, the women's team. He's now there with us. They're trying to ask different things of them. And last night, like you said earlier on, we really did push our thing. The first 40 minutes, I was talking to the guys that were commentating on the BBC at the time, we were shutting them down all over the place. And I literally texted during the game and said, how long can we keep running for? So Yeah, I think to answer your question, no, I don't think it's the Westie style of football you'll see on Saturday. But I think it's going to be a good one.
Jay, you just mentioned Dino there, and I do have to ask, how impressive are his arms? Because you wouldn't want to get in a fight in the touchline, would you, with him?
Hang on a minute. Have you even seen me?
The problem is, Jay, yeah, me and a producer Butcher, I've seen you. That's why I said, have you seen Dino's arms?
I'll tell you what, I was talking to him before kick-off last night, and he was asking where I got my shirt from, because I had one without Burger King slapped on it.
By the way, that is possibly the worst kit in the Football League, isn't it?
Which one, home or away?
Both.
they're impressive, aren't they? You're going to get to see the away kit, obviously, on Saturday.
Can't wait.
For the Borough fans, you know, any mustard or ketchup spillage that happens on Saturday really does blend in well with a shirt. So, you know what I mean? It's all right.
Talking of food, while we're on subject, I've got to make a confession. I was the man who took the cheesy chips Stevenage photo. Don't hate me because you hate me. do they still serve that in the ground, or is it just purely Burger King burgers and fries now?
Well, you've booked me, so you'll know that I'm a personal trainer, so I don't go anywhere near the infamous Borough Burger.
Jay, how will Orient set up? How will Stevenage set up against Orient this weekend? What kind of formation can we expect from Stevenage? And lastly, of course, what is your prediction for the game?
3-5-2, 100% wing backs, Wilding, Vancouver, and you'll see, hopefully, if they're all fully fit. Definitely, Guthrie's been playing up front. Hopefully, we're going to find his feet this weekend. There's been a lot of long ball, which we don't like because that man gets the ball to his feet. It kind of sticks to him. Hopefully, Newton's going to be fit so we can see his Velcro feet running at you. But I think it's going to be a close run one. I'd love to say we'll nick something out of it. But with 11 first-team players not available Saturday, from what I'm led to believe, going to be a tough one. I'm coming as a fan, so I can't wait to see from the sun are coming down. Where should I head to, guys?
Coach and Horses.
I've got 2 hours spare.
Coach and Horses before
Coach and
the ground.
Sports
or
club.
Or go back home.
Or go back home. I've already paid for my tickets. Come on.
Cheers, Jay. Just what was your score prediction then?
We'll go for a score. We'll have a 1-1 score. We'll have a draw. Is that all right?
Yeah, sounds good to us. You've made some friends in the studio. Jay, we really appreciate you giving us some time there. Jay Drakeford.
Oh, no worries.
Stevenage Stadium announcer. Honestly, we just have to touch upon it there. How bad is that Stevenage kit? It's horrendous.
It is awful.
It's awful.
When it first came out, I thought it was one of those joke kits. You know, you always get the odd one in the season where you've got some absolute random. And then the sponsorship doesn't help, does it? It just doesn't. You're a great sponsor like that and then just kit is awful.
Well, I do have to get your predictions, of course, for the game. Stevenage, we didn't really get to ask him there, but I was texting, you know, the producer of this show normally, Stevenage fan, text me 88 minutes. I said, how have Stevenage played today? Orient have got them next week. See, I'm asking for you boys. He said, 3 points dropped today. He went, really should have beat them. Text me straight back. He said, oh no. And obviously, he'd not flashed up on my phone at that time. And then I just see they'd gone 1-0 down. 89th minute, I texted him in the 88th. I couldn't believe it. So, obviously, we know about the Salford City result, but it's two games. How are you all feeling about the game on Saturday and your predictions?
I think it's going to be a difficult one for Orient because going up against a team who haven't got a point on the board yet, they're going to be wanting it. It's a relatively local game, and like you said, they've got super Scotty Cuthbert. So I think it's going to be a hard one for us. I don't think it's going to be a rollover. We're talking about aggression. If they do come, like Brendan talked about earlier, with that aggression, I think we might struggle. So I'm going to go on the fence, going to agree 1-1.
When we played them previously, you know, they've got good fans. You know, they don't bring a lot away, very vocal. So I think that makes a good atmosphere. I'm going to continue with my absolutely positive start to the season. I wasn't going to go 1-1 because until I saw you lot. I think we're going to probably 2-1. So we'll go in early. I think we get up early because we've got to do something, and then we'll sit back as we do, and then we concede, and then we'll go, oh God, we've got to go again, and then we'll get up 2-1.
Brendan, I'm sure you'll be at the game because you go to him. So what do you
yeah,
think?
Home and away.
Yeah.
Last season we struggled against teams like Sutton, Bromley, teams who come and sit back, kind of aggressive teams. I know he said that they're not like Graham Wesley teams, but from what I've seen of Stevenage, I think it's stretching the truth a bit. I think I'll go 0-0. I think it'll be a tough one.
All right. Well, as the only one who got the result last week, I'm on a bit of a run. although this game's tough because Stevenage have played well, Orient have played well in patches, but I think Orient's home form is going to be key this year. This is where you got the result. I think you're going to be a completely different team at home. But Stevenage have played good, and I think Orient may be a little bit nervous after those last two games. It's very boring, but I'm going to go for a draw. But if I got pushed off the fence, I'll go for Orient. There you go. Next, we'll be talking of rest of the games.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I've been joined by the E10 Mess podcast, Brendan Pitchard, Julian Ferns and Adam Sampson. We do have a quick update for you in the European Super Cup final. Chelsea are beating Liverpool 1-0. Super Oli Giroud. Where was he for the last 5 years, eh? Anyway, moving on. We now want to talk about something a little bit special because we've covered Leighton Orient men's quite a bit, but Leighton Orient women have their first ever game this weekend. Is that right, Brendan?
Their first game of the season, yeah.
First game of the season. Yeah. No, excuse me, sorry.
Yeah. I'm going to work as their media guy this year, so they're playing their first game of the season on Sunday at Mile End Stadium. It's about a 5-minute walk from Mile End Station. They're playing Cambridge City Women, and if any Orient fans will turn up, I know the team would be greatly, greatly appreciate that support.
What is expected of them this year, Brendan?
Well, they got to two cup finals last year. They won one, lost one, came fifth in the league. We can go again next year. I'm hopeful we might have a promotion push this year. We've signed some decent players. We can go again.
I think for me, I've never been, and my bit this year, I just said to Brendan outside, I will go to a few games on the Sunday, family commitments. But when we had some of our dark times over the last couple of seasons, the ladies' team were smashing it. And I think, as a fan, you rather look at the results on a Sunday than you did on a Saturday. So that's really good. One thing I really liked about the current ownership is how they've embraced the ladies' team and the youth set up, everything pulled back together. It's one club, yeah. We don't have sponsors and separate things over here for ladies. It's all one club. And I think that's a real good testament to Nigel and Kent for doing that. But reality is, let's all get down there because they're a great bunch.
When you talk about signings, obviously, at the level that the women's team are playing at, how does that work in terms of picking up players and scouting players at that level?
At the level we're at, we're not really signing. I don't think we're signing players for fees or anything daft like that. It's kind of like I think we openly appeal. Players come for trials, players, if they impress. There's players that have played at higher level, players play at lower level. If they come in pre-season and impress, they'll be in the squad every week. That's kind of how it works.
So how much of a force will Cambridge be? Is this a tough opening game?
They've got three promotions in 4 years. Mm. So they're on a high. They beat us last year in the FA Cup. So we need revenge, Brendan. We're out for revenge on Sunday, I think.
This is the real game that matters. Yeah. Don't worry about Saturday. It's all about the revenge on Sunday.
Are there any defensive midfielders that fancy
Hashtag sign a midfielder. So, you said whatever it
takes.
I'll
bring everything in there. I'll take it. However.
So if you want to get down to the games, that is it every...
Every other Sunday will be a home game. 2 o'clock kick-off at the Mile End Stadium.
There you have it, Leighton Orient women. I might go. Do you know what? It's funny, Julian, you mentioned it there. I'll be the first to hold my hands up. Arsenal are still in a very barren spell. And Arsenal women's, when everyone used to say, you ain't won nothing, I said, we're just Champions League winners, Arsenal women. Oh, that was what I dined out on for years. I still do. So,
it's still quite Boreham Wood, yeah?
They're, you know, they're going from strength to strength, won the league last year. And I think the whole women's game on the whole is just the Women's World Cup. I was so invested in that semi-final. And
do you think, is there an expectation at the club that obviously the Women's World Cup had just gone huge viewing figures and interest? Is there an expectation that actually that will increase the crowds and the involvement with the fan base?
I think we're hoping to take advantage of that. We were supposed to play a pre-season game at Brisbane Road, but obviously that got cancelled because of the weather. But we've got a game, I think it's September the 8th maybe, at Brisbane Road against Norwich. So again, come to that, it'll be great. It's good football, it's good standards, and you can support the O's.
The quality is definitely improved. I say go back to the World Cup, but some of the sort of local games you see, and some of the stuff on the TV now, you can see some of the women's games, especially the sort of the Premiership sides. The quality is a lot better than it's ever had. You know, I think everyone's got their own thoughts and opinions, but reality is some skill. The skill factor, I think, is really good. I mean, we're not going to get that crunchy midfielder that Adam wants for us, but reality is you get some really good skillful players, and it's quite attractive to see.
see.
Completely. I think we'll have to do a regular section every week. Just Brendan, you keeping us up to date. Now you have mentioned it. Hopefully get the win against Cambridge this weekend. Let's quickly look now, because the next time I will see you, you would have also played Mansfield as well. Brendan, I'm sure you're going. I don't know about anyone else. you're going to go to this one, yeah?
I'm going to go to this one, yeah.
I thought you was an armchair fan. But, so this is it, you know, in a football league. Well, all lower leagues, you know, you play games, they come thick and fast. It's another away game. It's hard to give a little preview of the game because we don't know how the game's going to go on Saturday, of course, with Stevenage. But looking at that tie, if we can, what are your thoughts of the game against Mansfield on that Tuesday?
I tipped Mansfield at the start of the season to be up there, if not win it. I think they just missed out last season away at MK Dons on the last day. And they made some decent signings. I think one of the under-the-radar signings in League 2, actually, was they signed Andy Cook. From Walsall, I think he was in. But a few years ago, he was Tranmere's top goal scorer in the National League. I think he scored 25, 30 goals for about three seasons. They lost him when they went up. And I think he did okay at Walsall, maybe a few injuries. But at that level, I think he could probably get 20 or goals. He hasn't started with any, I don't think. But yeah, I think it would definitely be a very, very hard game away from home on a Tuesday night.
Was it not Newport that's knocked him out in the...
And that
playoffs.
Was in the playoffs, yeah, but on the last day of the season, they could have gone up automatically and MK Dons beat them. Yeah.
So for me, I went to see them a few years back, played the Orient in a wet Saturday afternoon, and wasn't overly impressed with the side. But as I said, some of the signings they've made over the recent years. They've been in and around it for last year, and reality is, I think, is again, it's going to be a Tuesday night, a fair distance away for Orient and the fans. I guarantee it's going to rain, just as we've got. And for me, I think we'll struggle to get a win there, but I think we'll try to grind out a result. We need to get a result away from home, as you did. I think we can make Brisbane Road a fortress, but reality is, I think we need to get a result away.
Yeah, as Adam said, they've got Andy Cook. They've also got Nicky Maynard, who's a really top striker for that level. They've got a squad more than capable of challenging. The only worry at the minute is they appointed their academy manager in the summer, and he's never had experience professional football before. They drew at home to all to Morecambe on Saturday, so you've got to be a little bit... Maybe there's a chance for us to sneak something, maybe on the counter, play a bit of low expectations will suit us for that game, maybe.
Well, I want to ask them, because Adam, you said earlier that, you know, you felt like we weren't maybe at the races, we weren't trying as much, you know, and I said, is that a concern, being it the second game? Would it be, again, more of a worry, Orient, get the result on Saturday, beat Stevenage, then we go to Mansfield, another poor performance, it's like, we've done it again, a good home result, another away result, and it's like, then does that start playing on the players' minds, because they go, oh, we're at home again, we know we've got a chance here away, like, oh, and then does that become a thing, because we can see that, can't we?
Yeah, I think it's difficult for any team coming up, whereby you have to adjust every week you're winning games. Obviously, we finished top of the league. We were on periods of time where we were winning home and away, especially our away form was pretty good last season. So you've got to adapt to actually not picking up points away sometimes. And I think we talked about earlier, the home form is going to be key. And maybe it's just about setting expectations. I'd be more than happy if we pick up a point away from home and win our home games every week, or, you know, pick 4 out of 9 points up, because I think that'll probably be enough to stay up. And although it's not exciting and it's not probably what you want to talk about after just getting promoted, I think going away to someone like Mansfield on Tuesday night, quite a long way away, and picking up a point, and to be fair, even if we lose, if we win all our home games, you know, I'd be more than happy.
Sorry, Julian, I thought you put your arm up there. No, so Mansfield, so 4 out of 9, though, that's how we're looking at it. Because you're all three varying stages of, like, Adam's just happy to get the points, stay in the league. You know, I'm not quite sure about Julian and Brendan. If you
go straight up.
Yeah, straight up. I didn't want to say it, because if I said it, you go, no, I want to just stay here. I'm safe here. It's cautionary. But there is an element of that. 4 out of 9, you've got to be happy with that. But the home form, we don't want the away form to be dreadful. But the home form, not only can it see you safe, but it can see something. If you do win all those home games or near enough, you might be edging up in the top half nearer the playoffs. But you do want that balancing act, don't you?
I think you said that you sort of get to round that sort of that playoff place coming into the season. I think we'll be a different club then. I think we got used to where we are. My biggest sort of fear is that we as fans don't stick behind the club. You know, we've all got opinions. We were in the show for an hour and sharing our opinions. But reality is, on a Saturday, we should back the boys, you know, come whatever. And they're not going out there to go and want to lose, whether that's a home or away. So they're doing a job. They're professionals at what they do. They want to win. That's why they go into sport. They're winners. So I just think, for me, is... the home form is absolutely important for us this year. Away, nick the odd draw here, they're great, you know, and as Adam said about the points tally, that'd be fabulous. But for me, we just need to make Brisbane Road a place where people don't want to come and play.
Well, we need to make Brisbane Road a fortress. You did get that first win there. You have got Stevenage this weekend. We're hoping for 3 points. We want 3 points. When I see you next, you would have played Stevenage and Mansfield, and we're hoping it will be just as bubbly in the studio. This is your Leighton Orient fan show. Come on, the O's.
This is Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at COTA.com/trip planner.